Macmillan Audio presents Letters to My White Male Friends by Dax Devlin Ross. Read for you by the author. To my two forever loves, Lana and Ella. Lana, thank you for introducing me to myself again. We can learn to work and speak when we are afraid in the same way we have learned to work and speak when we are tired, for we have been socialized to respect fear more than our own needs for language and definition. Audre Lorde. Part 1. Harm. Introduction. I will never forget one night in Cape Town when I was out at a dance club with a group of fellow law students. My friends and I were clustered by the bar, spending our overvalued cash with an all-too-eager-to-please barkeep, talking loudly as Americans often do, without even wondering if it's obnoxious, when I noticed something unusual out of the corner of my eye. Picture the scene with me. The dance floor was dark and crowded, thick with grinding bodies. But there was one body, the one that caught my attention, moonwalking around the perimeter of the floor in its own orbit. How often do you see anyone in a club moonwalking? It isn't the type of dance that one performs alone in a club. I'm not certain that it can even be classified in the classic sense of the word as dance. It's more like a move within a dance, something that precedes a spin and drop-down split. I couldn't get over what I was witnessing. I nudged my friends, who looked over and chuckled before returning to their conversation. Not me, though. I decided to climb to the balcony overlooking the dance floor so I could look down on this mysterious moonwalker. Round and round he went without stopping. After his third or fourth circumnavigation, my laughter petered out and something else started to emerge. The moonwalker didn't give a damn. Whoever was watching or whatever people thought had nothing whatsoever to do with him. Why begin these letters to you with an anecdote about a stranger I witnessed moonwalking in a club 20 years ago? What possible connection does that experience have to race? The simplest way I can put it is that at that point in my life, I believed, whether or not I was ready to admit it to myself, that there was a single standard of the successful and therefore acceptable black man. And either I met that standard or my life was a failure. A successful and acceptable black man had a clean record, credentials from the most prestigious institutions that would have him, and a career in a field that white America held in high regard. He rose above his race, excelling without complaint or excuse. He spoke with perfect Anglophone diction and dressed impeccably, though conservatively. Most important, he was always on time. But I knew another side of that black man. He was also trapped in a role he was assigned to play in order to survive and gain some measure of stature and stability in a hyper-competitive, hyper-individualistic society. He was my dad. He was so many of the black men I grew up around. Collectively, they were my first heroes. I just couldn't live their black lives. For them, succeeding in newly integrated America depended on their ability to swallow racial slights with a straight face and keep climbing the ladder. It hinged on how well they tempered their black cultural identity and mimicked the white, middle-class cultural norms that most workplaces rest upon. Whatever unconventional or non-traditional life paths they might have longed to pursue had to be surrendered for the more noble cause of advancing the race on white America's timeline. Witnessing this as a kid, I became resentful of the stirring sense that if I wanted any kind of respectable future, I had no choice but to fit into a black male mold meant to manage the anxieties of white people. Doing so would have been inauthentic to my experience inside white spaces where, for better and worse, I had been reared since middle school. No one told my white male friends that they needed to be a credit to the race. They weren't taught to code switch so they could assimilate and appear competent. Rather, they were groomed to govern, treated as individuals, and assured ever so subtly that they were the standard by which everyone else was measured. And because I was there as well, right?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?